Happy Joe Coy Day. Are you celebrating? The city of San Diego is today will be Joe Coy Day in San Diego. The ceremony will take place at Mira Mesa. Joe Coy is being recognized in honor of Filipino American History Month. Congratulations, Mr. Coy. Hey, Dave Chappelle has applied to do more shows in the park. This from ysnews.com, YS meaning Yellow Springs. The property owner has submitted a hand-delivered letter. He sent that to the zoning inspector, requesting that the temporary variance, which ended on October 4th, be extended until early August next summer. These shows have been known as an intimate, socially distanced affair. This is where Chappelle and friends were in the park. Interesting that he wants to go all the way to August. Pretty scary. We're also starting to see in New York City some businesses saying they won't have employees come back to work until I've seen as late as July 6th. We'll see what happens. Hey, I'm not sure what Jimmy Kimmel is trying to do, so he'll be the late night jokes for today. But here, let me run through them. Kimmel said, over the last 24 hours, the positivity rate in Iowa is almost 22%. 10,000 strong were expected tonight, so that'd be 2,200 infected people. It's more of a political point than a joke. Kimmel said the second wave is clearly underway, and while you'd expect something like this would make the president think twice about these unmasked egomania orgies he's involved with, Donald Trump doesn't think twice about anything. Most of the time, he doesn't even think once. It's kind of a hack joke, Jimmy. Kimmel said, you know, there was supposed to be a debate, but since Trump would not agree to the virtual format that they wanted to have because he tested positive, blah, 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 he backed out. So because there was no debate, Biden agreed to do a town hall on ABC that night. Trump announced he would also do a town hall on NBC. So now I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to vote for both of them, right? Yeah. These aren't funny. I know my delivery is terrible, but these aren't funny. Kimmel thought more people would watch Trump last night. And he said, that doesn't mean anything. If my choices are watching a documentary about the Bill of Rights or a guy getting hit in the nuts with a shovel, I'm going shovel every single time. All right. I could see Trevor Noah delivering that one better for some reason. And this one is actually good. Jimmy Kimmel. Thanks, NBC. First The Apprentice and now this. Why not a new Bill Cosby special while we're at it? That's the best joke of the bunch. The guys at The Wrap got to see a screening of the movie Belushi, and they said as much as Belushi would like to celebrate John Belushi, it can't escape the shadow of his sad end. Not that it even tries to do that. They say what Belushi does offer is a fair number of delicious clips, among them Belushi's auditions for Second City and SNL, that's cool, and lots of audio interviews with his friends, colleagues, and family members, including Dan Aykroyd, Jim Belushi, Lorne Michaels, Harold Ramis, Belushi's wife Judy, and many more. Those interviews are more than 15 years old. But that doesn't hurt the film, they say, because they're telling a story that goes back further than that, and because the timing allows Belushi to include comments from now-deceased friends like Carrie Fisher and Penny Marshall. But the interviews are also preserved on lo-fi recordings of telephone conversations, which isn't a problem for oral histories like Colby's book, but can be a distraction on the film. The Hollywood Reporter says animation sequences fill in some of the early years of Belushi's life, and his spiral into addiction is discussed at length. Lorne Michaels, talking about Belushi's behavior starting with the show's second season, says he was testing all his boundaries at that point. Landa says about the making of the Blues Brothers, I don't think we lost more than 4 or 5 days of shooting because of the drugs. Fisher says Belushi had conflicting feelings about his rise to superstardom. She said he enjoyed it for a while, and then I think he felt hunted by it. In New York City, there was a comedy club called Dangerfields. It has closed. Rodney Dangerfield opened the club in 1969, and the New York Post reminds us everyone from Jerry Seinfeld to Jim Carrey to Bill Hicks and many, many more have performed there. On the website, the club's management announced, with great sadness, after 50 years of continuous operations, we'll be closing our New York City venue effective immediately. It talked about the state of New York and New York City's COVID-19 lockdown. You can't have a comedy club. We've talked about other comedy clubs going outside. The organization promised it would rebuild the iconic comedy club and continue to produce the funniest comedy shows the world has ever known. The future location may be brand new, but we will make sure it still reclaims that classic Dangerfields look and feel. No timetable on that. So my take, I'm sorry anyone has lost their business, and I love Rodney Dangerfield's comedy. I'm not sure Dangerfield's ranked as a comedy club in New York City any time in the recent past. It just, if you think of the hot spots, and you know, you got things like The Cellar and Gotham and Caroline's and Stand Up New York, I don't know if you get to Dangerfields on that list. It existed. It was around for a long time. Not sure it mattered. Sorry, everybody. Adam McKay is making a new comedy, this via Insider. The movie will be released through Netflix, and it follows two astronomers who try to warn the world that a giant meteorite will destroy Earth in 6 months. Jennifer Lawrence and Kate Blanchett will be your stars. Adam said, I think God almighty do we need laughter right now. It's the only way I'm getting through this. You just have to laugh at the cravenness of not just Trump, but the Republican Party. And if you think it's a slow news day, and you think I Googled Ricky Gervais to see what came up, oh, you're right. From Hello.com, inside Ricky Gervais and Jane Fallon's neon pink kitchen. Yeah, we're really going to do this on a weekday. It's been a slow news week, and it's a slow news day. Hello tells us Ricky Gervais and Jane Fallon have the most incredible kitchen. Jane, who's been in a relationship with a comedian since 82, shared a snapshot on Twitter this week, giving fans a glimpse inside their very vibrant living space. In the photos, we see the new cat. Jane said, I bought pickles, some new bowls, so everything she had wasn't a hand-me-down, and they just happened to match my kitchen beautifully. To demonstrate the point, she showed us a neon pink wall between the worktop and the wall cupboards of the kitchen, and injecting a further pop of color is a string of fairy lights that have been arranged on top of the cupboards, woven around a series of colored glass bottles. Placed on top of the white worktop are a variety of appliances, including a chic chrome toaster, a radio, a blender, and a sleek black coffee machine. Tea towels, including one featuring a moose print, are also visible. That is your comedy news for today. You can subscribe in all the usual places. Appreciate a retweet on social media now and then is really cool. Tomorrow, we'll take a look at comedians making fun of Donald Trump. Sunday will be a normal episode, and I will see you then. Thanks.